Hi, I'm Nicole Claremont, and I'm a sophomore on the BC Women's Cross Country and Track team. And to me, running is about family and teammates and purpose. It gives me a sense of drive and a sense of positivity in my life and keeps me focused and allows me to make a difference on other people, which is the most important thing.
Welcome to the Triple Knot Pod. I started this podcast because running has been at the center of forming who I am while connecting me to the world. But I've found that the voices of young runners are not well represented in the podcasting world. So thank you for tuning in. My name is Haley, and today I am joined by Nicole Claremont, who is an NCAA Division I runner and sophomore student at Boston College. Nicole and I met during the summer of 2016 when she was in my cabin at Foss Running Camp in New Hampshire with some of her teammates from Franklin High School of Massachusetts. I've attended Foss for 8 years now, and that was the first time that I worked as a cabin coach. So huge shout out to the Franklin girls because they were really just spunky, really fun, kind-hearted group to be around. And Nicole really stood out as a leader and just a generally positive, engaged force around camp. So flash forward to Nicole's first year running for Boston College. I ran into her at the Boston University Valentine Invitational in February of 2019, and I saw her break 5 in the mile for the first time, but not just break 5. This girl ran a 4:50. I never forget that. It was insane. Coming off of having just won the under 20 cross country national championships, which earned her a spot to travel as part of Team USA. And then just this past weekend, I ran into Nicole again at the BU Valentine. but this time she was not racing and has been taking some time to mentally and physically reset herself. So without further ado, let's lace up with Nicole to hear her story. So thanks for coming in today, Nicole.
I'm so excited, Haley. Thank you for such a nice introduction. Oh my God. You covered all the bases.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you're truly a special person. So I just wanted to try to convey that as well as I could. So how was your day? What have you spent the most time thinking about or doing today?
Yeah, it's been a really, really good day. So today was the first day I ran 20 minutes. I've been coming back from a stress fracture, and it was the first time I felt like myself as a runner. It felt like I was flying. I felt invincible. It honestly hasn't felt that good to run since probably that race in Tallahassee last January. Because I'm in such a different place mentally and emotionally and physically. And obviously, like, coming back from an injury, 20 minutes, like, was a huge deal for me. And I got to do it with one of my teammates, Sophie, and it's been, like, just so nice. Like, I've really felt supported by my team here at BC, and they've, like, lifted me up all the way. And our head strength and conditioning coach, Russ, was like, you need to celebrate all the way to the top. So I'm like at the bottom and I'm just going to keep celebrating to the top. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in a similar position. I haven't really been running lately. And I was just talking to my friend how like scared I am to start running again. You know?
Oh my God. There's so much fear and anxiety around it. Cause like, you don't know how your body's going to feel. And it's just so daunting, like the long road ahead. Mm-hmm. But what everyone keeps reminding me, especially Russ, is that you need to think about how far you've come. Mm-hmm. And like, for me, I've had like such a long journey with my health recently. And I was diagnosed with a stress fracture in October. So I was off for 20 weeks, I think. And just like being able to get my period back after losing it and really just like feeling healthy and strong was like the best feeling. And I knew that when I was coming back to running, even though there was that fear and anxiety, like I am actually ready for this. So,
Wow. And I just like, I really admire that you were able to take that full time off as much as you needed to recover yourself. Cause that's like, that in itself is a really mature and brave thing to do.
Yeah, no, it was, honestly one of the hardest times in my life to have to be so patient. I've like never really been a patient person, and having to like really like sit with the feeling of not running and sit with how uncomfortable it was like to not be doing what I love really helped me to focus on other things that like bring me joy. And so now I'm like not a one-dimensional person anymore. So
Wonderful. So I want to, definitely talk about that a little more, but yeah. I want to back with like how you ended up at Boston College and what your background, how you first got into running, what that is.
Yeah. So I started running when I was a freshman in high school. My mom had always been a runner. She ran at West Point and did the 400 and the 800. So I'd always like known of that. And I've always looked up to her because she was an All-American. I always played soccer growing up, but when I joined the track team in the winter and then in the spring, our 4x8 qualified for nationals my freshman year. Awesome. And it was at that time I was like totally hooked. I was like, okay, this is like where I belong. This is what I love. And this is something I can be good at. And so I just like kind of went from there. I joined the cross country team and I had such a great team at Franklin. Coach Travato was such a great role model, still is. We still keep in touch. And you met all my teammates. Like, they're such great people. We had such a good atmosphere. Our statement at Franklin High School was PMA, which we learned at FOSS.
Yeah.
Positive mental attitude. Yeah. And just the success that I felt there, I just really knew that this was something I wanted to continue with. And so my senior year, I started looking into like where I wanted to go to school. And my coach had run at Boston College. So I was like, oh, like maybe I could run here. But I had never really like considered it. I never really had like a top school. I kind of just was like, okay, like whatever comes, like I'll go for it. So my coach had got in touch with Randy Thomas, the head coach at BC. And I ended up getting an official visit here. And I knew when I was here, like it was just a school for me. I walked on campus and just felt so much love by everyone here. And everyone was just really happy and really welcoming. And it was really the people at BC that sold me. And the people at BC have kept me here, like even through the hard times. I mean, people always say you want to be able to go to your school when you're hurt, because you need to be able to like your school just as an academic school. And BC is like a Jesuit institution. And I really have gotten more into my faith and spirituality this year. And my professors have just been so supportive. Like, I've been open with them about my injuries, my struggles, my anxiety. And they're like, anything we can do to help. Like, everyone is just like totally has my back here. And so it just makes it such a good place to be. So, yeah.
That's great. It sounds like you really value that team and community environment.
Yes, definitely.
So how do you feel your high school experiences prepared you for transitioning to collegiate running?
Oh my gosh. Wow. I think high school really showed me the value of like teamwork and hard work, because we really had such a good team at Franklin High School. Like, my most cherished memories were at our Hockamock League championship, because my senior year we won as a team the Hockamock League in cross country, indoor and outdoor, and we were undefeated. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, I had accomplishments of my own senior year, but those were the most special because we did it together. And like, it wasn't just a distance thing. It was the sprinters, the throwers. It was really a full-blown unity. And our coach was just so supportive. So I think coming into BC, I've taken that with me, and I've really tried to create a good community on the team and a good team culture. The girls are awesome, and I just want to keep, as I get older, just keep really bonding us and having a togetherness, and just hard work. Like, my coach was very detail oriented and always particular, and he was always telling me, like, always pushing me to improve, and he always believed in me. And he would always like be like telling me things about my form, like, your hands need to be like potato chips, like you don't like don't break it, like if you could hold a potato chip in your hand and it wouldn't crack. And like, and so I still keep that with me. And like, even just like, at all the things he said to me. Like, I always talked a lot, so he'd make fun of me for that and call me, like, Claremouth and all these things. But, like, and it was so fun. Like, I really learned how to have fun and work hard and set some goals and achieve them and do it together. So, yeah.
How did your training change once you got to BC?
Oh, yeah. That was probably, like, the biggest change for me. I was very low mileage in high school, like, probably, like, 20 to 30 miles a week. And I was training mainly for, like, the 800. And when I got to BC, I started training, obviously, for cross country and the 3K and mile and 6K. So I gradually increased my mileage over the summer from probably, like, 20 when I started to, like, up to 40. Mm-hmm. And then through the fall, I stayed at like 40 and would cross train like twice a week. And then in the winter, got up to like my max was 50, but that was like pushing it for me. So I don't know. I think I feel probably most confident around 40 with cross training, like biking and swimming. That's been like a huge part of our success here at BC is the cross training to keep us healthy. And we lift twice a week. And yeah, so.
Awesome. So as I mentioned at the beginning, in the results, you had a stellar first year of collegiate running. So what were some of the top race experiences you had, but then also like, what was the day to day like for you during that year?
Yeah. So let's see. I mean, I'll take you through the highs and lows of racing last year. Okay. So, I started off with cross country season, and my first big invitational, which was at Penn State College, was the hardest race of my life. I went for it. I PR'd in the 2 mile in route to this 6K, and I literally, like, my legs just died. Like, it was a very scary experience. I was, like, lacking a lot of energy. I finished the race, which I was the most proud of, but it was a very, like, low point and my racing. It was like definitely one of the biggest struggles and things I'm most proud of overcoming. And that was a turning point. And like, I don't know, I view that as like kind of the bottom of my freshman year and like really a low. I came into that race like under fueled, like went to bed hungry the night before, which is never good. I just was very excited by it all. And I wanted to put myself up there, but then realized my body has limits. And then I was able to turn around for our regional meet, up in the Northeast. And I ran, I think I was like 50 something. And I was really proud of that. It was probably like my best cross country race of that season. And just starting to pick people off. I started out in the back and moved up. And I like really started to feel like myself. And the cross country experience for me last year in the fall was just all about learning and really like setting no limits and just seeing who I could compete with on my team and trying to compete for the top 7 spots, which was my goal originally. And then indoor started out and I had a little bit of a tough time in December just with kind of understanding where my training was at. And I was just, I felt a little lost. I was like, I don't know, like, what my next goal is. Like, I ran at the Northeast Regional. Like, I don't know kind of, like, what I'm shooting for. So I got my wisdom teeth out in the winter, right after Christmas. And I was bedridden for a couple days. And I really, like, sat with my mom and we talked. And we tried to figure out, like, okay, like, what are my goals for this year? Like, I really need to make some new goals. It was the new year. I knew I had more potential. I was healthy. And so it's when I started getting into my meditation with Joe Dispenza called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And it's a book about kind of cultivating your reality and like manifesting what you want. So essentially I was like, okay, I know I have a race coming up. Like I have indoor season and then my coach told us we were going to USA's down in Tallahassee. And I really thought about it when I like to make like vision boards and goal boards. And I was setting my goals on a canvas and I was like, okay, like I'm going to Tallahassee and I have a chance to represent Team USA. Like I'm going to make that my goal. And I was like, okay, well, who makes it? And I didn't know specifically. So I was like, okay, top 3, like I'm going to come in top 3 in the country. so I can go represent Team USA. Like, how cool would that be? But then I really started thinking, I was like, I need to set this higher. Like, why not win? Like, why not? Like, top three versus a win, like, there's not much of a difference. So I really just started meditating on that and really started just believing in myself and, like, carrying myself every day as I walked into my local YMCA. Like, I'm a U.S. runner. Like, I am a U.S. caliber runner. And I started, like, really believing in that as my identity. And when I would go out for my runs, I would think about how it would feel and look and like, what it would be like to win. And I imagined breaking the tape and how great I would feel, like, breaking the tape and, you know, hugging my mom afterwards and being like, I did it. And so my mentality really shifted from kind of just being like a fish kind of swimming around the water to being like, okay, I know what I'm doing. Like, this is my purpose. And so I had a really successful January. The race was at the end of the month, like, I think it was like February 2nd, almost a year ago. And just that whole buildup, I was just like really racing for confidence. All my workouts were geared towards like how I'm going to finish in Tallahassee. And when we went down there, I had this like calm sense of confidence knowing like, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm capable of. And my coach had Kayla and I, my teammate who, I was lucky enough to like train with and go down there with. We practiced from the 5K to the 6K mark, picking it up and doing like a pickup the day before the race. So we practiced like, and I just visualized like the end of the race. I visualized going up the final hill, making the turn and doing strides. And after that, I was like, all right, I'm ready. And then the next day I woke up and obviously it was the most nervous I've ever been because I was like, this is the biggest race of my life. But then I also just thought like, this is the most exciting, most excited I've ever been for a race. And I just came into it with a sense of like, I'm meant to be here. I'm strong. And I won't ever forget, my teammate and I were hugging on the line and she said, pain equals power. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, pain equals power. And then like, I just was like, all right, I'm going to go do this. Like, this is it. So the first 3K of that race, I was just really calm, relaxed with the leaders, like not wasting energy. And then at the 3K mark, my teammate came up on my shoulder and we started to take the lead together. And it was so cool. Like, I was like, holy crap, like we're in the lead. I wasn't planning on this. Like, I wanted to win, but like not that early. I was like, oh my God. So from 3K to 5K, we were just like controlling the pace, like making everyone else like kind of run with us. It was such a cool feeling because it felt like a workout. Like, honestly, I was just like, I'm just running with my teammate. And then when we hit that 5K mark, I was like, I need to go. Like, this is my time to go. And I saw the clock and it was like a new PR for me. It was like 17:46, which I was just like, and I was just like, all right, if I don't make a move, somebody else will. And I'm not going to win. I was like, it's my time. So I just slowly started to go and go. And then I pushed up the hill. There's like 800 meters to go. And I was just like, I need to give it everything. I was just so focused on what's in front of me. I heard people breathing down my back. I was like, oh my God, who's coming? It was my teammate. I could see her like red maroon jersey. And I was like, I can't let a teammate beat me. Like, I know I can do this. And so I turned the corner and I was just like 500 meters of like a straight kind of gradual downhill. And I was like, oh my God, I can do this. I'm doing this. Holy crap, I'm doing this. And my coach was like, finish. And then I saw the tape in the finish line. And I like was like, this is a dream. Holy crap. And I was just like, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall. And so I'm like running as hard as I can. Like, it was the best feeling in the world, like euphoria, like knowing it's something that I really dreamed hard, worked so hard for, made a lot of sacrifices and choices for it. And then looking behind me and my teammate comes in second, like hugging her at the line, like it was the best feeling. And just getting to celebrate that with my mom and my coaches and my mom's best friend. It was just such a crazy moment. Like, I was in disbelief. Like, I was like, I'm going to USA's, like, what? Like, I mean, I'm going to world. Like, it was, because it was a world qualifying year for USATF cross country. And I just remember checking my phone and having like a flood of love from like back home and school. And it was really that support that like carried me through to that point. And that was a very happy moment for me. And coming off of that was the next day we did a long run. I felt great. Like my teammate and I, literally we were like, we don't even feel any pain. We're just happy. Like we did 12 miles and we're just like on top of the world. And then like, obviously it sinks in, and it really didn't sink in until like they sent our like Team USA stuff. And we were like, what, this is us? Like we were opening up all the stuff in our like little double dorm room and we're like, oh my god, what, like we're going. And like, but then, you know, February was like, it's pretty solid still. I was riding that wave. I think when you saw me, I ran 4:47 at Valentine, and then I ran like 9:40 in the 3K, and so those were all like huge PRs for me. I was just kind of riding this like,
what was your PR before that?
My PR on the mile was a 5:09.
That's insane.
And then my PR for 2 mile was 11:16.
That's okay. Well, sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
I just,
that's like, it's fine.
That's such a massive jump. Wow.
Yes. Okay. Honestly, it's like a combination of training harder and confidence. Like it was, and I honestly just didn't set limits last year. Like, my motto was fly fast and free, why not me? And I would just say, why not me? Like, why can't I try to win this race? Why can't I stay up with this teammate or beat them? And that attitude really propelled me through my indoor season. And as I started getting closer to USA's, I started getting more anxious and being like, oh my God, like it's real, it's real. And like at the time, I was doing really well training, but my mental health like really started to take a toll towards the end of it all. I just like really couldn't see how fit I was. Mm-hmm. And I was like really struggling with like body image issues. Like last year I was struggling with orthorexia, which is like when you have like rigid food rules around like healthy food. Mm-hmm. And so I like, I'm a definitely like a control perfectionist type of person. So with my running, like it's, everything was definitely like perfect, but like in my head, but like I used food as a way to like kind of control any anxiety and uncertainty last year. So it started catching up with me by the end, because it's really not sustainable. And like I started just to just feel really tired. My iron was getting really low. I think I was at like 20 by the end of the season. So I really started to struggle in March right before Worlds, which was like when I wanted to peak. Like that's when I wanted to be feeling my best, and I really wasn't. I was struggling through workouts that like I was so fit and ready for. Like my iron was low. Just by the end I felt so weak. And it was like at that time where I don't know, I didn't really realize how hard I was struggling. But I was living my life like out of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of surviving. I was like obviously still like enjoying running. Running has always been enjoyable for me, but it started to become more stressful and like, and just less like, for me, running is always about like freedom and like joy and like feeling like just like I'm flying and I'm unstoppable. And it started to like just weigh on me. And I would like get really down on myself for not having a good workout. And I had such high expectations leading up to Worlds. I was like expecting myself to be in the best shape of my life. I was expecting myself to feel the best. I was expecting myself to like do all the right things. But like my body was starting to break down. Like I was getting really sore and fatigued. And like I was always in the training room, like working on like my hip or like my leg or something. And it was kind of just like I was hanging on. Like I had to lower my mileage. I had to make some alterations. And I was just like, all right, let's finish. And so like, obviously I was so excited about Worlds. Like it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. My favorite part was getting to talk with all the pro runners. They've become like such role models for me in the sport, and getting to sit with Shalane Flanagan on the bus and talk to her about the New York City Marathon and
casual
and like talk to Courtney Fredericks about her silver medal. And like, you know, it was just, it was so fun. And getting to meet all the girls, and guys on the junior team was great. Like, we became friends, and I still keep in touch with them to this day. Shout out to Savannah from NC State. I saw her at Valentine. And so, yeah, like, it was just the people on that trip. Like, the people in my life have always been so important, but, like, that trip was, like, really made by all the people I met. I met so many good friends from, like, New Zealand and Britain and just all these in South Africa and Australia, and getting to see all these people who just have such a passion for running in this sport, and watching all the races go. And that course was the hardest course of my life. We ran through mud, sand, water. We ran on the roof of a museum. It was like such a steep grade. Like, it was like out of the world, like literally. But it was so fun to be able to just like fight and represent my country. It was one of the greatest like feelings of pride I've ever had. And I really went for it that race. My plan was I really wanted to get top 40. I don't know why that number was in my head, but I was just like, all right, top 40 it is. And so I was like started off in 60th place at, it's like a 2K loop. And yeah. I was in 60th, and then I moved up to like 40th, and I was like, all right, I'm feeling good. Like, I'm doing great. And then my body just like was like hit a wall when I hit the last 2K, and I was like, shit, just hold on. Like, just hold on. And I was like, okay, like, finish this race. Come on, Nicole. Like, you're not going to let your body let you down. And so when I hit 800 meters to go, my brother was like cheering me on up this like huge hill. And he was like, come on, Nikki. And like, I talked to him afterwards, and he was like, I could tell you were dying. But like, so essentially like my legs became like jello. Like, I could barely feel them. They were like literally spaghetti. I was like, oh my God, like, just stay up. Like, don't, like, you're finishing this race. Like, duh. Like, and for me, that's never an option, like, to quit. And so I was like, okay, just get up this hill. Like, I had to take it literally step by step by step. And like, obviously I was getting past, but I was like, just finish. And I went up the final hill. It was like it was the hill on the roof of the museum. And I was like,
visualize that.
I was like, oh my God, like, just come on, climb, like, legs work. And then I turned. The downhill was the worst part because it was so steep and I had no control of my body. So I was like,
roll down to the finish.
Like, kind of flailing, like, just like, oh my God, like, it was like 200 meters to the line. And I turned the corner and I see like the finish line, and I'm like, just get there. And I literally, the finish line's here. I fall right in front of the finish line, crawl over it, and I'm like dead. Like, I finished the race, but I was like, it was the hardest I've ever pushed myself. And it was really like, it was very like, wow for me, because I was like, I'm on the world stage. I never imagined that. Also like, wow, I never knew my body had this ability, but also these limits. And then reflecting back on it, I realized, wow, like, how much stronger can I be when I come back, like, healthy and fueled? Mm-hmm. Because I was still really like, I wasn't eating enough at that time. And I still like, I wasn't getting my period. So I didn't have that strength in my bones and everything. And then I also just like was struggling with my low iron. And I was thinking, like, I finished that race and I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to finish better than I did this time. Like, this isn't it for me. Like, I can't leave off like this. Cause I was third for the US junior team, but I was like just unsatisfied because I knew that I went for it and my body couldn't react. Cause like, confidence wise, I was still in the best place of my life. Because I had come off that win and I had really shown, I was like, I know, it's all in my head. Like, I can do this. But then my body was like, you have physical limits. And that was the hardest thing. And that's still been the hardest thing for me to work through, because I think my mind, like, I really worked on it. And I think it's my best friend, but also can be my enemy. But it has become my best friend in racing, and just the way that I'm able to use it to be a strong, confident, badass runner, which is what I like to feel. And So after Worlds, I was like, all right, I'm exhausted. I need a break. I was going from, I started training in June and I hadn't stopped until March. So it was like a very long journey. So lots of fun, but lots of fatigue. I had raced at ACC's indoor, kind of was a little upset with how that went. Just was racing really tired. But ultimately I was like, okay, I just need a break. And my coach was really great with everything. He's like, why don't we redshirt in the spring? You can just focus on like getting healthy and training and getting ready for cross country. And I was like, sounds great. Like I'm kind of raced out at this point. I'm just ready to like focus on my health. And so in the spring is when I really started getting help with my doctors and nutritionists on like how I can kind of get myself back into a better place. And the spring was really, really hard last year because I wasn't running and traveling with the team. I really like didn't feel that same connectedness that I had felt all year. And I was really trying to rewire my brain to think differently about food and about body image and health and everything. So I put a lot of energy into school and I was like, that was kind of like the thing I latched onto. And I did really well in school, but like, I think I sacrificed some friendships and some overall like life balance. And so then at the end of my freshman year, my doctor and nutritionist were like, I think you should get help this summer. And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, I think you should go to Walden Behavioral Care. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like, what's that? And like, it's an eating disorder clinic. And I was like, what? Like, for me, that hadn't even crossed my mind. I really didn't think I was struggling, like, mm-hmm. with eating disorder or with anything. I was like, how can I be that successful? Like, what? Like, that's not me. And then I was grateful enough that I went to try it out and they were really welcoming. It was a program called Goals for other athletes. And I met other athletes and people just like me. And I realized, okay, wow, this maybe I should be here. Like maybe this is good for me. And so I ended up having to take a break from that though, because I went to Costa Rica this summer. Mm-hmm. And I got to volunteer with the Special Olympics down there with other student athletes. It was a 3-week trip. It was like so fun. I met so many good friends and it was a really good like break. I got to train with a guy who runs at IUPUI. His name is Dakota. He really helped me. We were training at like 3,000 feet in San Jose, Costa Rica. And it was so much fun to get to run together.
How'd you end up in that program?
So the San Jose one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it's called Student Athlete Abroad, and I'm actually an ambassador now for them, but I just found it out through Jessica Hurley, who works in my student athlete development. So I applied for it, and I was like, I want to go abroad. Like, I want to do a summer abroad program, and it was the best thing I could have done. Like, yeah. So then I had to go back to Walden this summer, and that was so difficult because – that was like my only focus this summer, that and running. And then it kind of got to the point where I was like, I really need to like take care of myself and maybe take a break from running. So I took a week off and was like, okay, I can do this. I can take a week off. For me at that point, taking a week off was so difficult. Like it was so hard for me to take a rest day last year. And I really had to work through that. We worked through different meals together and did a lot of work on like myself. And I got really into journaling and prayer and spirituality and music. And my relationship with my parents got a lot better. And then when I came back in the fall, I was like, all right, like this is really scary to go back, to go from this eating disorder clinic to school. But I was like, I'm going to do it. Like, I want to make nationals with my team. We have a good team. Like, I want to do it. And so my like enthusiasm and eagerness like had me right back into the thick of things, and I was just like going for it, training hard, like not a high mileage, but like my workouts were hard. Like I really just was throwing myself back into it as much as I could. But I wasn't really considering that I had sprained my ankle this summer just on a rock in the woods, and so that kind of set me back a little bit. And I kind of was just so focused on making nationals for my team in cross country that I was like, I'm fine, I'm ready. And I think I kind of like was pushing through a lot of pain and just like fatigue. So for like 2 weeks, I was just like running workouts, like really fatigued. Like I noticed a trend when I looked back. But I was like, I don't want to let my coach down. Like I really, really want to do this. Like it's not for like a lack of will. Like I want this. But one day my leg started hurting and I was like, oh, this is weird. And it wouldn't go away. And then I ran a long run. I ran like 10 miles on it. And I knew like something was really wrong because every time I would stop and start again, I would get like a shooting pain in my leg. Mm-hmm. And so then I decided, I was like, okay, I'm going to take tomorrow off. I'm going to cross train. And then there was a huge workout. We do the Michigan. It's,
Oh, we do that as well.
It's a good one. Like, and I get so hyped for it. Cause like, it's a big deal. And, my coach was like, it's a big like marker for your health and your fitness. Like, I really want you to do well and focus on it. And I was like, yes, like I'm going to crush the Michigan. Like, and I did the warm up on the day of the Michigan and I was like bawling. I was crying. Like my leg hurt so bad. I could barely even run. Like I was limping and my teammate was like, you need to stop. You stop. Like you're limping. And I was like, okay. Like that was, it was really, really difficult. And I went over to coach and I was like, my leg hurts. And he's like, you're done running. But I will never forget my teammate, Sarah Pierce, was like, that's a big day, Nicole. I'm proud of you for listening to your body.
Yeah.
And it was a turning point for me. It was the first time when I actually said, okay, body, I hear you and I'm going to stop. And from then, I had stopped running. I hadn't run since that day. And I was cross training because I was like, this was like October. Yeah, early October. And I was cross training like really hard because I was like, I'm still going to stay in shape. Like I'm going to be ready. And I ended up getting my MRI because I knew something was wrong. And I was like, we need to check this out. Because we couldn't really figure out what it was because it was like where my calf and like hamstring connect. So it was like a really weird area. But
yeah,
it was. So like it's
behind your knee or on the.
Yeah. So. Wow. It was actually, so it's my tibia and it's, I think I always get this mixed up. I think it's anterior. So it's on the inside.
Uh-huh.
So it's right at the top of my tibia, like on the back though. So like where the muscle connects to the bone.
Yeah. That so it's a confusing spot.
Right. And so I like thought it was just my muscle because it's like right where your calf muscle is, but it really was like a lot deeper. And I got the MRI and there was like edema, like all through my tibia. And I had like a visible crack in the back of my tibia. And so like that crack was like kind of just like a break. Like it was a transformative day when my doctor sat me down on October 15th and was like, you have a grade 3 stress fracture. I was just like, wow, like my body doesn't lie. Like my body has control and my body is what is either going to make me limitless or give me limits. And I really have to respect it. And it was weird. I didn't really cry. I wasn't too upset. I was just like, thank God I know. Like, thank God I can heal. Because I really knew like deep down I was trying to get back and I just wasn't ready. And that was kind of a sign for me to like really rest. So it was hard though. I didn't take time fully off for a while because I was still in my head like, I need to get fitness. Like, you know how when everyone gets injured, they're like, let's save fitness through cross training. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And it wasn't until like, it really wasn't getting better with cross training because every time I would swim, I could feel my tibia because the muscle and pressure would pull on that bone. And so it got to the point where it's like anything I did hurt my leg. And I was just so fed up of hurting. Like I had dealt with so much emotional, internal, and then physical pain. I was like, I'm tired of this. So I ended up just taking time fully off over Thanksgiving and I just did nothing. Meanwhile, I was on a boot for 8 weeks and crutches for 5, which was, that was tough. To
just do nothing.
It was so hard. Like when I still had a boot and crutches, I was still kind of like doing things like cross training and like trying to like stay fit.
Yeah.
You know, like I kind of needed that, but it was the hardest thing was like, I felt independent internally, but I actually was so dependent on others. Mm. Like I had to rely on my doctors. I had to rely on, Eagle Escort to drive me around campus. We have a ton of stairs on campus. And it was just really hard to accept where I was at. That's still something I'm working on. And I think I've gotten a lot better with, but acceptance of where you're at. Mm-hmm. And so over Thanksgiving, being with my family was super helpful. We took time totally off. And then I came back and I was like, I feel so much better. Like, my body was like, thank you. Thank you for taking time off. And then I've just, since then, I've just slowly started adding back volume. And when it was like beginning of January, so I took probably a couple weeks just fully off, doing physical therapy and rehab, but like no cross training. And then when I went home for winter break, I saw my old physical therapist, Michelle, who's awesome. She like totally helped me. She was like, okay, we're going to help you get back so that you can start running when you get back to school. So it was my goal to start Alter-G-ing after winter break. And so when I was at home for winter break, I could start doing a little bit of cross training, which was like so nice to just be able to move my body again. Hard, you know, but really nice. And since the beginning of January, I just started adding back in cross training in January. And then I started the Alter-G. So I started at like 50%. Or like 60%, and now I'm up to 85%. But I'm also back running in the field house. So I've progressed from running on the anti-gravity treadmill to land in the field house. So it's been such a journey, but I'm really like trying to celebrate all the way to the top and just and like think about how far I've come, because I've really grown a lot in a year, and like I'm in a better place mentally and physically, emotionally, like with my friendships, my running, like, I mean, obviously not like my running fitness and everything, but my relationship with it has changed. And just today, being able to get back out there, I ran 20 minutes for the first time since like October, probably, like, I don't even know. And I just felt so free and happy, and I was playing music, and just being able to share that with a teammate, like, I've really come so far in less than a year, and it has not been without a lot of hard work. And like, I couldn't have done it with all the people beside me, like my parents and coaches and teammates who have been like so supportive of my health. But I think, and I have a lot of hope for my future, that like this is setting up the groundwork, like this healing is going to allow me to blossom and grow to new heights as a person and as a runner in the future. So since
your stress fracture in October, how have you been able to take care of your mental health as well? Because especially when you're injured, and you know, you're talking about control, and I know you, like, something I hear a lot is like, control what you can control. But then like for someone with a perfection that, it's like, that's not helpful to hear, you know? It's like, I can control and what can't I? Like, so yes. How have you been able to take care of that while you're injured?
Yeah. So that the control was definitely so difficult, because in the fall, I really was always in the dark. I never really knew when I was getting my crutches off, knew when the pain would go away. I never knew when I would get my boot off. Everything had a question mark. They had told me some markers of like, oh, like you'll, you know, run this, you'll run by this date, but like, you know, those are just arbitrary numbers. And so really there was nothing for me to control except for rest. So I kind of shifted my attitude from, okay, well, I can't control when I'll get better, but I can control my actions and like my health. And so I really focused on keeping my period and having good eating habits, getting good sleep, like just back to the basics. I just went back to like sleep, hydration, fueling, like very well. I really focused on friendships. Like, I relied on a lot of my friends. I made a lot of friends, a lot of closer connections with people from outside my team. I was in SAC this year, which has been great. I just gave myself permission to grow in other areas. I have my bullet journal right here. It's like always with me. And I do like a bunch of like drawings and stuff. And like, I really got in, like, journaling was something I had started at Walden this summer. And we really focused, like, I think Walden set me up for my ability to stay in such a good headspace while I was injured, because they taught me what self-care is. They taught me self-love. And those were things that were, like, so forefront in my life, like spending days to just make and paint and spending days to journal or go on adventures, talk with my parents, talk with my friends, like, and like with my spirituality, and really just like focusing on all the other good things that brought me joy, and like still staying involved with my team was key. Like, I had to go to the locker room every day. Like, I really needed to see these girls. Like, they're my best friends. And it was hard. Like, and I was honest, you know, I would say if I'm having a bad day, I would say if I don't feel great, but I really worked through it through a lot of, I still kept up my meditation, and journaling. And then towards the end of it, I started getting into Kundalini yoga, which has been a really good practice for me. And yeah, it really all started with this summer, I think, is what helped me be in a good headspace. But it's definitely not easy. I think mental health is something you have to work on all the time. So, yeah.
You've talked about meditating and spirituality a lot. Yeah. What does that mean to you in a day-to-day routine?
Yeah, so it's really evolved and changed as I've grown. So I started my senior year of high school meditating with Headspace. If you know Colleen Quigley, she uses that app a lot. And I had like a streak of like over a year at one point, like, and I would just do like daily meditations in the morning. But I've also done like the Joe Dispenza meditation. I've done YouTube meditations. I really just experiment and try new things and like listen to my heart of like, what do I need today? So like lately I've been waking up and like either just like praying to God or sitting. I made like for Christmas, my mom got me this like meditation pillow that I sit on, and I either listen to music, like the Kundalini yoga music, which is like very like calming and relaxing. But for me, that like spiritual connection at the start of the day is so key for my anxiety and just centering myself in presence. So like, I think I'm able to be my best self when I'm like really calm and mindful and just in the moment. And I think I've been the most successful that way in all aspects of my life. So it's something that like I really keep up on a daily basis. I don't try to like put boundaries or limits on like, I need to do this meditation on this day or for this long. I just kind of wake up and see what I need. And I have like different like apps like Headspace and YouTube, and then my Spotify music, which I put on like different like happy music or different like kind of yoga music. But really it's taken on just such a big part of my life. And my school is a Jesuit school, so I've been able to go to church on the weekends sometimes. I have reflections with my friends where we talk about like spiritual things, and I joined the Christian life community on campus, and we talk about Ignatian spirituality. And yeah, and it's just something that for me, I don't want it to become like a perfectionist routine or habit. I want it to just become a part of me and something that I invest time in daily. So
yeah. That's wonderful. So when you were talking about your eating disorder, mm-hmm. So you said you struggled with orthorexia. Is that?
Yeah.
So would you mind talking a little bit more about what that means and like how you hold yourself accountable to overcoming that? Because one thing I'm thinking of is that, you know, eating disorder culture and running is something that's unfortunately really common, but also yeah. often overlooked when it can just be maybe someone's physical appearance isn't extremely changing or there aren't obvious signs right away. But just like the disordered eating and that underlying mental part of it is still there and still destructive. So what have you learned from that?
Yeah. The biggest thing I've learned from eating disorders, and I would really probably generalize it to like other addictions, is there's an underlying root of something. So it's not just the eating disorder. There's something below it that's causing it. And I think that's really important to consider because everyone has a different story. And for me, it was my anxiety and perfectionism and that need for control. And for me, I found control in food and eating a certain way to gain control over all aspects of my life. But really, I think when it becomes a problem is when your way, your thoughts and your habits start to intrude your social life and start to intrude your thought, your thinking, just any normal day, start to get in the way of your passions. For me, which is learning and school and running and friends. Like last year, I knew I was struggling when like I would be with my friends, like tracking what I ate in my head, like trying to think through all I ate. Mm-hmm. And like when I would be like in class, like thinking about what food I was going to eat next, or like thinking about, like my body and how it felt, or like going into the bathroom and like checking my body out and like the mirror and like, and really like for me, it was all about like routine and structure. And so like eating only a certain amount, like eating, sticking to like whatever arbitrary rule I had told myself of like three meals and three snacks or something like that. And, you know, that it meant like ignoring my hunger and just sticking to this routine. And like, I really like lost my hunger cues and I just became kind of like robotic in it and like stuck to the same food groups, like the same healthy things, and cut out, like I would be very guilty if I had dessert or something unhealthy I deemed. And like, I don't know, I think I deal with a lot of body dysmorphia, and I mean, I'm still working to get through it. Like I still, thoughts come up. It's not like totally gone. Like, you know, you're never just going to be like, oh, I never have to deal with that ever again. Like, because of the underlying cause of it is my anxiety, which is something I'm always going to have to work with. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I think it's interesting because sometimes a lot of people don't know. Like a lot of people didn't know I was struggling. Mm-hmm. Some people did, knew I was struggling, but didn't know with what. And it's hard for people to tell on the outside because it's really internal. It's an internal battle. It's an internal dialogue and thought. And it doesn't even make sense to you, but you just go with it. And you're just like, you cling on to it because it's keeping you alive. It's what you need to survive at that time. And it's not until you remove yourself and you get healthy and heal that you realize, wow, like I was really struggling. And even still, like it was hard for me last year to like talk about it and talk about how I was feeling with people. And really admit that like I was struggling. So I a lot of the times kept it in. And like for me, it just like left me more like isolating and not wanting to be social with friends. It really was hard to like go out to eat and do like have social eating with friends. And it just like really took away from the quality of my days because it was just all I would think about was my food and my running and tracking everything, and making decisions about those were so hard and stressful for me because I thought it had to be a certain way. And if it wasn't that way, I was going to fail or I was wrong. And so that meant like for me, like I know a big indicator of when I'm not doing well is when I'm going to bed hungry, because that's just like not good. You need to listen to your body, honor your body. And for me, like now I keep myself accountable through habit. It's become like a habit to just make sure I'm eating enough, make sure I'm listening to my body. And that's taken time. Like at first, like relearning how to like eat enough was so hard. Like I felt so like so many emotions. Like gross isn't even emotion, it's just like how you characterize everything. And like I really had to learn this summer to like sit with it, to eat a donut and to like be okay with it, and like, you know, to eat like pizza on an off day, like not have it as like a treat, or like not have pancakes just after a long run, like little things like that of like, oh, it's contingent, like I need to run a long run so then I can eat my pancakes. Like why can't I eat pancakes any day of the week, right? Those were like little rules I had in my head that we really needed to break down. So, I spent all summer chipping away at those. And now I know that I'm healthy because I'm eating what I crave. If I'm in the mood for ice cream or whatever, I let myself eat it. And there's some days where it's harder and I still have feelings of guilt, but like really just learning to accept my body at whatever shape it is, because it's always fluctuating. It's never perfect. I don't weigh myself anymore ever. I haven't weighed myself in I don't even know how long. And I just really focus on how I feel and my energy levels and my mood, because I know when I'm hungry, I get hangry and I get moody and I can't focus. So I've realized that with food, I focus so much better in school. I'm so much stronger of a runner. I can lift bigger weights. I just feel alive. And I think that's how I know I'm not struggling anymore, is I feel alive again. And I feel like a feeling of liberation and freedom. And I know that, like, if I go out to dinner with my friends, I'm going to have a great time. I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to order. I'm just going to be with my friends and enjoy it, and making food fun again. And I really enjoy food. So having fun with making dinner, having fun with, you know, going out with friends, and really just having more fun with life, being less strict with myself and everything, and just going with the flow, taking it one day at a time, is like my motto. My grandfather would always say, un jour à la fois, like one day at a time. Like, that's really how I survive, and just putting together a good day after a good day, and keep taking my calcium, you know, for the bones. But yeah, so.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, because I know it's really hard to talk about. And
yeah.
Congratulations, too, on all the progress you've been able to make.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really glad to be able to share it. I think it's kind of a taboo topic. Not a lot of people want to talk about it. And it's very prevalent in the running community, like body image concerns. And I think, like, people should just be validated and know, like, if they're struggling, like, they're not alone, and that, like, there's other people who have gone through it, and you can get help, and you can still be a good runner. Like, no, it doesn't matter what weight you are, what body image you are, like, what body type you have. Like, just embrace your natural type and, like, be the best healthy you. So
that's awesome. How have you gained the courage to speak out about what you've experienced, and also to spread that with other people in your team?
Wow. That's been probably one of the hardest things, is having that courage. But you know what? So I had this opportunity. I'm in SAC, and they asked me
SAC at school. Is Student Academic Advisory Committee, right? Yeah. Okay. Yep. Just want to clarify. Yep.
And so it's like with a bunch of different, all the different teams, there's like two representatives. I'm the marketing and communications person for that. So it's really fun. But they were doing a mental health week at our school, and they were like, we're looking for people to share their story. And I was like, really scared, but I was like, I'll do it. Like, I can do this. And so I practiced a little bit, thought about what I was going to say, got in front of this screen and just started talking. And I started explaining, like, you're not alone. Like, this is what I struggled with. Like, you can get help, speak out. And they posted it on the BC Eagles account for like 30,000 people to see. And I was like, oh my God, what did I just do? Like, but I realized that my voice has so much power, and your voice matters. And the amount of like love and outreach and support that I gained from, I reshared it on my own Instagram, thanks to my friend Emily, who was like, you can do this, Nicole. And I put it out there, and I was like, I want people to hear this. Like, they should see the real side of me. Like, this is authentically me. And like, I'm going to be transparent. And I wish somebody would have said this to me. And I feel really proud now. And I feel like it's a part of who I am to continue to inspire people, not only through my running, but through my struggles and what I've overcome, and just like, and kind of like what I bring to this world. And I think I find the courage to continue speaking just through daily actions, like being more open in my daily life to talk about it, and being more open when people want to talk to me about mental health, really explaining what I've gone through, talking about what they've gone through, having conversations. I did like an interview for my friend. He wanted to hear about my mental health journey, and I was like, sure. Like, I made a new friend on the tennis team, and you know, it's opened a lot of doors for me. And I mean, I know that it's difficult to talk about, but I think that it can have a really powerful impact on other people. And that's like what I'm all about, is making a difference. And I was able to actually do something for Boston College, like this mental health campaign. And I'm not sure when it's going to be like put around the school, but I took a picture with a quote that I liked, and it says, "The biggest strength is admitting your weakness." Mm-hmm. And I really felt like that's something I wanted to share to my school. And at a school like BC, very like prestigious institution, we're all like high expectations. I want people to know like it's okay to speak up, like, you know, you're not struggling alone, and like people are here to help you. And I think like the message of you're not alone is so key, because when you're struggling with mental health, you feel alone and you feel isolated. And so I think I owe it to like my old self and to other people to be this like hope for them. So yeah.
Thanks, Nicole.
Yeah.
Some of your future goals and contributions you're looking to make through your running and schoolwork and
life. Oh my gosh. I've been dreaming a lot lately. Like I think that, well, first, like with running, I want to make it to nationals and be an All-American. Definitely. And I really just want to see how high I can get in the NCAA and like not put a ceiling on the NCAA and be like, who knows, maybe I can win someday. Like, I don't know if I'm healthy and I'm ready. Like, I really believe it. And then I don't know, like professionally, I don't know if I will run after college, but if that opportunity comes, I would love it. I would love to do that. And like, ultimately I want to keep shooting for the Olympics. Like, I want to keep shooting to represent Team USA again. And I really want to make it back to the World Cross Country Championships, as an older runner with Team USA on my chest, and just, you know, do it for myself and for all those who support me, and just really like go back like how many years later and just be like strong and confident. And I mean, I want to just feel strong and confident in whatever I do. So right now that's running, and that's what I feel great in, but I definitely want to, I would love to be a college coach someday at the D1 level and like come back and help out. I think that would be a great way to give back to the running community. And I think being able to do something with mental health and, maybe do a blog or like something to like kind of inspire people through that. But yeah, right now I'm just kind of, I mean, I'm a psychology major, so I'm loving that, but just kind of taking life as it comes and working hard with my passions of running and mental health and school and friendships. And yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nicole. I've really appreciated hearing your story. And I'm honestly just so blown away by your authenticity and your perspective of the process. I definitely feel very full and humbled by your story, and the world is at your fingertips.
Thank you, Haley. Yeah. It's been a big deal for me to be open, and it feels really good. And yeah, my heart feels full too. So thank you so much. This has been a great opportunity, and yeah, you're such a great friend. So
thanks.
And I'm just so grateful to have a platform to like start to speak out and like start to continue to grow with.
Isn't Nicole just incredible? She already has such a deep and beautiful perspective, and her comeback is just getting started. Her story sure resonated with me, and I hope it can provide others with a source of inspiration or hope as well. Thank you, Nicole, for lifting your voice, and thank you for listening. In the description of this podcast, I'll provide a link to the National Eating Disorder webpage for resources on learning about disordered eating in athletes, the female athlete triad, and where you can seek help and support. You can reach out to me via email at tripleknotpod@gmail.com. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.